This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this lovely Saturday afternoon, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm not here to manage your life alone. We were supposed to have the beautiful and talented Carrie Kasem with me, but the last minute, she called in sick and couldn't make it. And I'm not sure what's going on with Carrie, but, you know, back in the day, I was in Las Vegas, and my good friend Ed Alonzo was doing a show at the Sands Hotel, I believe it was. That's dating us. And his assistant had to go to L.A. for an interview, and Ed looked at me and said, put on the tutu. You are the assistant. And today I'm asking Ed Alonzo right here in studio to put on the tutu.
Woo! I'm here.
It's good to have you, Ed.
I actually didn't ask you to put on the tutu because it was a very small girl. It was a 4'4".
That's right. Weren't they tights?
They were tights. It's partially a true story. I really was performing in Vegas at the Sands Hotel, which is now the Venetian?
I think so.
Yeah, the Venetian. And there was a girl that I had who was a dancer, model,
whatever,
out of the boxes. She shows up. No, she doesn't show up, and she calls. She says, oh, I have a big audition in L.A. I'm not coming to Vegas this way. So, boy. So we didn't know what to do, and then all of a sudden you called. Hey, I just happened to be coming through town. I said, great, come on over. You're going to throw on a tux shirt, some black pants, and catch some swords when I throw them or whatever. So you were awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm but you remember what happened. It's a good thing that we were good friends, because at that time, and I still think I suffer from the disease, I had a fear of birds.
Oh, and, you do, yeah.
And one of the parts, one of the illusions in your act involved a duck.
A duck, right.
And I was supposed to bring the duck on stage. There's all these people sitting in the crowd paying big money to see the Ed Alonzo Saved by the Bell fame do his magic. And there I was looking down at the duck, staring at his eyes, saying, I'm not going to pick you up.
Right.
Fortunately, Ed knew me so well, he was waiting for the duck to come on stage because the assistant brings the duck out, and he saw me staring at the duck and the duck staring back, and you ran off the stage, picked up the duck, and brought it out.
You were frightened as though it was a shark. It was crazy. It's a duck. It's the Affleck duck. Who's afraid of the Affleck duck?
I am.
You are.
But we made the show work. We're going to talk to Ed a little bit about the new Saved by the Bell, the Max.
It's called Saved by the Max. Saved by the Max. Yeah, what happened is this a year and a half, well, 2 years ago now, somebody had posted on my Facebook a little ad that said Saved by the Bell themed restaurant to open in Chicago. So I hit like on the thing. I thought, oh, that's great. I used to be part of that.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, their marketing guy gets a hold of me, says, are you the same, guy who was the actor who played Max? So on. Yeah, I am. Said, we'd love to have you part of our marketing team and show up and do personal appearances and radio and TV show. I said, oh, that'd be great. Well, they rebuilt the set to the inch. When I walked into the place in Chicago, I was blown away.
Okay, Ed, time out for a second.
Yeah.
Did you listen to what I said when I was introing the...
Yeah, you said we were going to get to it.
We're going to get
but
to it.
But I know how this show goes. We'll get to the end of the show, and then you'll say, we didn't have enough time to promote Saved by the Max. That's how well I know you.
No, I promise
we can
we'll
get to Cosby
it.
Or whatever you want to get to.
You know, that was important news this week.
Yeah.
The Cosby verdict.
It certainly was.
And you had some experience with Bill Cosby, didn't you? I hope
did.
It wasn't. I mean, because it's really awful, the convictions, but yours was a little different.
I haven't looked into I've seen passing the allegations or whatever, and I guess I read this last week that now he's being actually charged or, you know, what's going to happen?
Come
with
on,
him?
Come on. Yeah.
I don't know the whole story.
Don't pretend you don't look. But weren't you on
Saved
on by the Apollo?
That's what I need, to be saved by the Apollo. I was on Showtime at the Apollo. This would have been back around 1990-ish when all the comedians were wearing sweaters. And I would call them the Bill Cosby sweaters. So I went out and got my own Bill Cosby sweater, to do my act with the ducks that you had assisted years before. And I was going to be on Showtime at the Apollo, and Bill Cosby is going to be the host. So I'm so excited. Who didn't love Bill Cosby? So I get there and the producer says, we want you to do a trick with Bill Cosby afterward. I said, fantastic. I brought a little something I can do. So the idea was that I got up, I did my bit with the ducks and get the people excited. And then I was to do a trick with Bill Cosby. So I'm waiting around in the afternoon of the taping. It was a live to tape deal. And I keep asking, when am I going to rehearse with Bill? Well, we talked to Bill. Now he's not so sure he wants to do this.
Wow.
I was like, okay, well, he doesn't even know me. Why doesn't he? So then I'm waiting, and now it's getting 10 minutes before the taping. Are we going to rehearse with Bill? Well, now here's what he says. He said that once he sees your act in front of the audience, if he likes it, he'll kind of gesture for you
whether
to come over to him. I'm saying it's like Johnny Carson.
Right.
You know, where he gives you the thumbs up for years ago.
Boy, you're dating yourself.
My goodness, right? So I do my Showtime at the Apollo act, and the duck appears and disappears and pops up, and I'm killing the audience. It goes great. The cards are with me that night. So Bill looks over at me, gives me a little wave with his fingers. So I timidly walk over. And he doesn't have the Bill Cosby jello face on. He looks like he's ready to throw it to a commercial and say, get out of here.
Well, that's how he looked in court this week.
I bet he did. So I go up and I'm going to do a trick with some record album covers. You remember records, the old LPs before CDs? And
yes.
So I had the record album covers.
Carrie Kasem is my co-host, don't forget.
Oh, of course.
So we talk about records and Kasem all the time.
Huge collections, I'm sure.
Huge Casey's collections.
I'd like to go over there and see that. That'd be awesome. So anyway, so I have my album covers and I'm showing the covers, and one is Boy George and one is Michael Jackson. Well, I was prepared. The last album cover that I show him of the five is Fat Albert's Greatest Hits. Well, Bill Cosby, when he sees this album, his eyes light up, his jaw starts going into the jello phase, and now he becomes the animated guy, and boom, we have a great, funny segment and hugs afterwards. It was great. Now, many months after this, while I was taping Saved by the Bells, he was in the hallway at NBC.
Yeah.
And I went up, hey, how are you? And he wasn't very nice.
No.
He didn't care. I don't know if he didn't remember me or
all
whatever.
All the time. And people wonder what the legal connection of having you on the show is, because we're talking about Saved by the Bell.
Right.
But of course, I worked on Saved by the Bell.
You sure did.
I worked at NBC on the minors contracts with all the kids on Saved by the Bell and on the Tonight Show as well. And I remember being in the hallway just like you were with people like Bill Cosby, and I saw him there. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jane Fonda, all these people. And you could tell who was nice and who wasn't,
right,
because most of them wouldn't look at you.
Yeah.
And, well, not you. They wouldn't look at me.
Right.
And, you know, some of them would. But Bill Cosby was one that did not. Him and David Letterman, he didn't look at me either.
I've never run into David.
Yeah.
But I hear that he can be difficult as well.
I don't want to belittle what's happened this week. We want to talk about the legal implications, you know. Bill Cosby's lawyer, Tom Mesro, has been on the show a few times, and he's a friend of the show, and we've talked about cases. He obviously wasn't successful in his strategies. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in this trial. And at this time, as we often do, a welcome a legal expert, and we have one of the best today to talk about the Bill Cosby trial. Paul Dare, I always screw up your name, and no one else does. I'm the only one, Paul. And last time you made fun of me, and I get so nervous. I'm here with Ed Alonso, and he's going to tell me to bring a duck out of his pants. And
it's true. Now we all know where it comes from. Thanks,
Dare Hanessian. How did I do?
Very good,
Dare Hanessian.
No, you do a good job.
Well, I try, but you know, Paul, you have been involved in so many high profile trials, especially when it comes to sexual assaults. And you've been in the media. You're the go-to guy for a lot of the networks and the YNN, a former assistant DA. Tell us about this trial. Why was this trial different from the last one where it was hung and we had a retrial?
I think one thing is the environment had changed both socially. I think the Me Too movement in the last year, the Harvey Weinstein allegations, I am seeing in my practice as well in society just almost a blanket acceptance of any accusation and a very large willingness to accept allegations now that may have been rejected before. So that's one thing. The second thing is this trial had five women coming in to say that they were abused by Cosby. And I think that's a fundamental change in terms of the proof at trial. It's very difficult, and I've seen very few. I've studied these cases when there's multiple victims. By multiple, I mean three or more, whether they're part of the indictment, whether they're additional witnesses that come in. And believe it or not, the exception to that statement is the case that Tom Esserow did with Michael Jackson. The Michael Jackson case was an anomaly in terms of his very unusual ability to have gotten an acquittal in that case. So I think the multiple victims also were the other major factor. And I think another factor that got overlooked is this jury was not sequestered. The first trial took place in an area outside the community where the accusation allegedly occurred, and the jury was sequestered. And if you look at cases where defendants have been successful, like Casey Anthony, for example, you had a sequestered juror, like O.J. Simpson. And I think that does protect the jury from outside influences. And unfortunately for Mr. Cosby, the media landscape here was very negative for him. So I think he didn't have any protection,
you know, Paul,
in terms of the jury.
I think you summed that up well. I think those three points are excellent and probably does explain the difference in the result. But you mentioned the Me Too movement. And, you know, I love Tom. He's been on our show. We talk a lot. He's talked about the Michael Jackson trial. He's told me some of the secrets, how he prevailed. Do you question his strategy to characterize Andrea Constant as a gold digger or a con artist or all of these things that kind of went against her, you know, her essence, who she was in the midst of this Me Too movement?
I think you describe well the problem with the strategy, but I don't fault the strategy because there was not really a better alternative. I think he took the best alternative, and focusing on the money and the accusation of gold digging is one thing that the jury understood. He was very successful doing that in the Jackson case. I think it didn't resonate as well here. I think there was a little bit more disconnect between the financial motives of the witnesses
and the
money. And I think that was the problem. But I can't say that it was a bad strategy, because I can't say that there was a better strategy that
that's an interesting point. Paul, we have to take a quick break, but I want to pick up on that point and talk about maybe what the future is with appeals. And I know Tom went on the news and talked about that, you know, you haven't seen the last of this. We'll do that after the break. Paul Derenasian of Derenasian and Derenasian. I say the name all the time because I'm really cocky now. We'll be right back. Stay tuned right here on 790 KBC.
The Home Depot is the place for next-generation technology, like the Ring Video Doorbell Pro. With a motion-activated camera, two-way audio, and brilliant HD video, you'll never miss a visitor again. See, hear, and speak to whomever is at your door in real time, from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop. Day or night, rain or shine, you're always home. For more information on the Ring Video Doorbell Pro and other next-generation technology, visit HomeDepot.com. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
A smart home is really all about home automation, putting together the right smart devices, smart electronics, appliances, and gadgets, and programming them to do what you want automatically. And if you've been planning to get started on a project to make your home smarter, it's actually easier to do now than ever before. Even if you're a total newbie to smart home technology, the Home Depot can help you find the right solution to make your home smarter and more connected. For more information, visit HomeDepot.com. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
The Home Depot is the place for next-generation technology, like the Ring Video Doorbell Pro. With a motion-activated camera, two-way audio, and brilliant HD video, you'll never miss a visitor again. See, hear, and speak to whomever is at your door in real time, from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop. Day or night, rain or shine, you're always home. For more information on the Ring Video Doorbell Pro and other next-generation technology, visit HomeDepot.com. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
A smart home is really all about home automation, putting together the right smart devices, smart electronics, appliances, and gadgets, and programming them to do what you want automatically. And if you've been planning to get started on a project to make your home smarter, it's actually easier to do now than ever before. Even if you're a total newbie to smart home technology, the Home Depot can help you find the right solution to make your home smarter and more connected. For more information, visit HomeDepot.com. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, sounds like the Cosby theme to me. We're talking to Paul Derenesian, who is a criminal lawyer and expert in sexual assaults, talking about the Cosby trial and the verdict that came down this week. It's funny because we also have Ed Alonzo here, who's sitting in for Carrie, and we're going to talk about Saved by the Max in a few minutes. But Paul mentioned Tom Mesro and the Michael Jackson case, which was a big victory for Tom Mesro. Now, you didn't have such a victory with Michael Jackson, because unfortunately he passed away, and that was tough thing for you.
The first time Michael had seen me on the Arsenio Hall show, this is crazy, and so he says to his managers, or whoever, his handlers, I'd like to have this guy come out to my house and do a show. Okay, so a manager of mine at that time, a wacky guy with big red glasses,
Chuck Harris.
Oh my! Can we see, really? Can you say that on the air?
I just did.
My goodness, You know what? Chuck Harris sends me an email saying that he wrote a book. He's written a book like How I Fooled Hollywood or something. Anyway, forget about that. We don't need to sell an extra book for him. So the Chuck Harris, he says, hey, Michael Jackson, his management calls. He wants you to go out to his house at Neverland Valley and do a show. And we're like, yeah, sure, right. If it's really happening, have him send a courier over with a deposit for the show. So an hour later, a courier comes over with a deposit. He says, you're really doing this show. So the next week, we go out to Neverland Valley. We set up the show. Did you go out there with me?
You said I couldn't go. You said that Michael Jackson specifically said, if you're thinking of bringing Alan Gervey out,
forget it. We've got way too many ducks on the ranch.
Wasn't Macaulay Culkin there?
He was not. The little boy who caught the glove or the hat. There was a Pepsi commercial where Michael throws a hat and like a, anyway, he was there. So anyway, I do the show, but it's for Michael, two kids, and the kids' parents. So there was like six people there, and I did the show. Well, now we zoom forward to 2009, and Michael Jackson is on television announcing that he's going to do his last concert called This Is It. And I'm thinking, wow, this would be great. Well, 2 days later, I get a call from the guy who is the production designer saying, Michael wants to meet with you. He wants magic in the show. So that's what I did. So I go over and I'm meeting with Michael, just him and I, and the director Kenny Ortega of High School Musical fame. And the three of us are sitting in a room, and Michael is telling me his vision of what he wants these effects to look like in the show. And I tell him what's possible. But it was really amazing that he had fantastic energy. I got to see him rehearse nightly at the Staples Center, and I'm one of probably 50 people that got to see the entire This Is It concert, because as we know, the next morning after, you know, I was at the Staples Center till about midnight rehearsing with him the night before. And then I guess it was about 3:34 a.m. that he took his last dose that was too potent and whatever. So I'm, it didn't turn out as well, but I had a lot of great times with him. He was a really great guy.
You mentioned to me that you hugged him that last night.
Whoa, yeah. I hugged him. It was a couple of nights before I did a demo of a trick that he wanted, and he really loved it. And he said, that's fantastic. And he gave me a big hug, and I remember thinking how skinny he was. I mean, he really felt like a skeleton. But I thought, hey, you know, he's still up there dancing. No, there were very few people that knew that he was having these sleeping problems. Yeah. It's a shame.
Good stories, but it's really off topic.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the law. Of course not. Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah. I did have to sign a secrecy agreement in there that and I told everyone.
Paul, we need a lawyer here. I think just breached a confidentiality agreement.
I did, yeah.
I don't know if you want to defend him. I know you specialize in sexual assault trials, but.
Yep. We'll be here for the next week's show. We can follow up.
Yeah, if we let Ed keep talking, we'll be here till next week. Paul, let's get back to what we were talking about before the break, and I'm getting a little more serious now. Interestingly, and I agree with you, that perhaps Tom Mesro had a difficult task, given the fact that five accusers and were able to testify. And you talked about the cumulative effect on a jury of five people talking about it. What about the testimony about Bill taking in the 70s and the Quaaludes, giving Quaaludes to people? Isn't that really damaging? And what kind of effect can that have on the jury's disposition?
I think that was very damaging testimony. And I think as a backdrop, I think that's why he almost got convicted on the first time was testimony concerning the drugs. I think this time it was more powerful. There was more testimony about it. I think his admission about it was very damning. I think it was hard to explain away in 2018 and say, well, this was acceptable conduct back in the 1970s. I just think that was very devastating and also hurt the defense case.
So when you talk about the facts, you've made it clear that it was a very difficult mountain to climb for the defense in this case. However, shouldn't they have tried to look at what we call the legal loopholes or the technicalities to try and get him off? Because we often hear when the facts are against you, turn to the law. What was the situation here?
Well, actually, that's what they've done, and that's why I think the appeal is important. I think there's several issues, but the main one being this admission of the five women's testimony. I think they're well positioned to make a good attack on the admissibility of that testimony. What I think sometimes the public doesn't understand that one of the jobs of a defense attorney is to lay the groundwork for a successful appeal.
Right.
If the verdict goes against you, and especially when it's coming in and you know that you're going to have this bad testimony. Hard for clients to understand it, but I do think there's a significant legal issue there. I think there's some others, but I think that's the main one that gives him a lot of traction. It isn't clear cut. When such testimony starts to take over the trial and you hear more about other acts than the one that you're charged with,
right.
courts have expressed a willingness to overturn cases when that happens. So I think that's where he was I think that's where he was looking at the legal quote, loopholes or the legal issues and kind of letting the prosecution and the judge make maybe mistakes that he could exploit later. I think he's right to say this is not the end of the case. He's got a lot to work with.
And
the problem with
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I think the problem though is the big issue is will he be in jail? Can he stay out pending that appeal?
Yeah,
I think that's his biggest legal challenge right now is being able to stay out. He won one on Thursday when the judge kept him out, at least until sentencing. Now, the next thing will be, can he stay out pending a resolution of that appeal?
Right.
Because that will be the next major battle, I think, legally.
And I want to talk about that in a minute because we have to let you go. But before we get to that, you make such interesting points about the legal arguments. As an attorney, do you think that Tom Mesro, and he's a great one, was actually thinking about these prior acts, bringing them in through the testimony and how he could appeal later and maybe tainting this trial, which would in effect throw out the conviction, having almost to start over again, which I can't imagine how they will.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you were talking about magic earlier. I think that's the magic of lawyers. Sometimes you don't see what they're doing. You don't understand how what they're doing lays the groundwork for an ultimate successful result. There's many ways to win a case. The trial jury and the trial verdict is just one way. So I think he was. I think he's a very good lawyer. He's an excellent lawyer. I think he can see beyond the immediate problems in a case. And of course he wanted an acquittal. but I think he was looking down the road. And good lawyers can do that. They can do both at the same time.
And you really have to have ice in your veins when that occurs, because you have to be thinking on a whole different level. The public opinion is against you. We have the Me Too movement, which is very important. And I know, you know, Tom is a very sensitive guy. I know him, and I know that he is sensitive to the Me Too movement. But at the same time, he's able to keep his eye on the ball and move forward. And I wouldn't count him out yet. Before that occurs, what about sentencing? What do you see in the sentencing issue?
I think he's got a lot to argue in terms of trying to mitigate, in terms of his health, his age, as well as the tremendous good work that he's done. But he's looking at jail time. There's no way this judge is going to allow him to not get jail. And I think, given his age, any jail time is going to be a significant jail sentence. Now, if it gets up into the 10 years category, then, you know, then it's going to be clearly a life sentence.
Right.
But I do think he's facing problems when it comes to jail time, but he's got a lot to work with to try to mitigate it. The key will be staying out pending appeal.
What's your best estimate, 5 to 7 years?
That would be my estimate, in that range. I think the judge is going to probably go midway on it, which is still a very substantial sentence.
Indeed.
And again, he's going to have a lot of civil issues also to deal with. He's on a multi-front legal war right now.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's very sad, the fall from grace of Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Derehanessian, thank you for being with us again. Really enjoy your insight.
Thank you.
Concise and to the point. We'll have you back as this progresses, and on maybe some other sexual assault trials. I know that you're very busy because of the issues that have come up over the last year. And it's not going to be, you know, I think it's going to stay in the public eye. That's for sure.
I agree.
All right. Take care, Paul. Ed.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed.
Yes. Now,
wait a second. Did I mention any name in that interview that you have a story about?
Yeah.
we're going to wait till after the break.
If you didn't, I'll make something up and we'll get there.
Yeah, we're going to replay the tape during the break.
Yep.
And Ed is going to tell you a story when we come out of it. And we're going to talk about Saved by the Max, very exciting concept in L.A. Right after the break, you're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Ed Alonzo. He's Alan Gervie. You're on 790 KBC.
KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. With anticipation growing for a possible U.S.-North Korean summit, South Korea's Moon Jae-in and North Korea's Kim Jong-un have pledged to seek a formal end to the Korean War by year's end and to rid the Korean Peninsula of nuclear weapons. President Trump's meeting with Kim is tentatively set for May or early June. The National Rifle Association is setting aside years of documents related to its interactions with Kremlin-linked banker Alexander Torshin, who is one of the 17 prominent Russian government officials the U.S. Treasury Department recently slapped with sanctions. The gun rights group is also battling allegations that Torshin may have illegally funneled money through the NRA to bolster the Trump campaign. KABC SoCal weather, sunny for the rest of the afternoon with highs from the mid-60s to around 70 at the beaches to around 80 inland. Partly cloudy this evening, then areas of low clouds and fog in the morning with lows overnight in the mid-50s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Attention Beetle fans, Chris Carter here to remind you to make your plans right now to join me at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa for a magnificent bubbly brunch and breakfast with the Beatles live. That's right, I'll do the show right in front of you while you're dining on a magnificent brunch for only $39. That's Sunday, April 29th. So go make those reservations right now. Go to MorongoCasinoResort.com and book for Sunday, April 29th. Breakfast with the Beatles live at Morongo. We'll see you there.
Hi, everyone. Lou Manfredini here with another House Smarts Minute. Have you spilled some candle wax on the carpeting and just aren't sure how to get it up? Once you remove some of the larger chunks by hand, use a paper towel folded in half and a warm iron. The iron heats up the paper towel and the paper towel soaks up the hot wax. With a little bit of cleaning, you'll restore that carpeting to look as good as new. More information is available at HouseSmartsTV.com.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
When I wake up in the morning and the lawn gets out of order, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I got my books and I
yeah. That sounds familiar. You ever heard that tune before? Ed Alonzo, Max from Saved by the Bell. Ever heard that tune?
I have. You know what? And I'm ashamed. I don't know all the words to this song.
You should. You've heard it a million times.
I know. Dennis Haskins, who plays Mr. Belding, he knows all the words to it. I know for sure. And well, I know that also Dustin Diamond knows the words.
Dustin.
I've heard him sing it on occasion.
Really?
Yeah. He has that awful voice. He cannot sing.
Yeah, there's so many good stories I'm sure you have to tell. I want to introduce our next guest.
Yeah.
His name is Ed Alonzo.
Here I am.
First time on the air. He's never been on television or radio before.
Nope.
Stage Magician of the Year for two consecutive years. Comedy Magician of the Year also for 2 years. Magician of the Year. He's just been everything of the year. Yep. Played Max in Saved by the Bell.
We just gave David Copperfield the Magician of the Year again a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
The Magic Castle is the big Yahoo for magicians and guests here in town, the Academy of Magic Arts.
And thank you for bringing up something legal. Did he have an opportunity to leave the trial? Because he was testifying last week in Vegas.
He did, yeah. They're still kind of in the middle of that. What happened?
He said he didn't even know.
Well, he wouldn't have. You know what? He had a trick where he would get 10 or 12 people from the audience, put them in a big box, drop the curtains on the box, then the curtains would fall again, revealing that these 10 or 15 people from the audience who were not stooged.
No.
They disappeared. Well, one of the guys didn't disappear all the way and he tripped and fell. And I guess he hit his head. I don't know the whole case.
Yes, he was injured.
And he's injured and is suing for a lot of money. David hasn't done the trick in years and years now because after this happened, they said, well, let's pull it out now until we want to make sure that it's not our fault. So I think they're trying to figure out what happened. Well, they've done it hundreds of times.
You know, the interesting thing, and I finally got a connection with the law with you being here, is that the issue came up at trial whether or not he had to divulge the secret of the illusion.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did have to divulge it.
Lawyers argued vociferously not to divulge it because it was a trade secret.
That's right.
And the judge said, no, here we are in a personal injury suit. Yeah. And by the way, if it would have happened at work, he could have called Rowan Gervey and Wynn, 818-981-9960, Rowan Gervey and Wynn. But anyway, Ed, I digress.
Yeah.
Ed has also toured with Britney Spears, and she sang you a birthday song, didn't she?
She did. She sang a song to me one night. We were in Berlin, and my birthday is in the end of July.
July.
And her and I had done our magic act that we had together in another part of the show. And then I was kind of cleaning up, and then she did a song, and she would only speak once a night in the concert. She would say, hey, how y'all doing? And everyone would scream. And then she said, hey, it's my magician's birthday tonight, which I was totally shocked.
Yeah.
And then she sang, she didn't sing happy birthday, she sang another song that's one of her songs.
Yeah.
But she was very sweet to me, still sweet. In fact, just this, I guess 6 months ago, her show in Vegas closed, and I had magic in that show that she was doing every night, where she would poof appear, you know, in the beginning of the show.
But and you then couldn't make her disappear, could you?
I don't want to make her disappear. You know, this is all the slack. She's been very good to me. Unlike Bill Cosby.
Right. We're not going to bring him up.
No.
Katy Perry was also good to you,
she's
too.
She's awesome. I love Katy Perry.
Yeah.
She wanted to float while she sang one of her songs at the AMA Awards in Amsterdam, and so she took took me to Amsterdam, and you know, we threaded her up like a big puppet, basically, and she was floating. You know,
wow.
it was amazing.
I would like to see
awesome.
Her float. Now,
she's
you
great.
You've been on How I Met Your Mother quite a few times.
A few times. Well, first,
do you have any connection there? Like, how would you get on that show?
I know, right? Well, what happened was many years ago, I guess it would be 1988, latter of 88.
Yes.
I was in a restaurant called Ed DeBevick's, which was like a 50s diner,
like the Max.
Well, that's what,
Max.
Yeah.
That's
Peter
what
Engel
we're here
tells
to talk
in
about.
The book later that the whole thing was designed after Ed DeBevick's.
Yeah, Peter Engel, executive producer of Saved by the Bell. Go ahead,
Saved by the Bell. And so I was at
Ed DeBevick's
at the Ed DeBevick's, and
I think I was at your house taking care of the house.
Were you probably went, watching the dogs.
The dogs.
The
yeah,
ducks.
You went out the ducks. I watched the ducks and the dogs, and you went out partying with all of the rich and famous.
I went out with the rich and famous. No, so I was out there, and Elizabeth Berkley happened to be in the restaurant that night at another table.
I just got a text from Elizabeth Berkley, by the way.
Okay.
She's finding a nanny for one of my friends. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No, she's
it's
she's
West
good,
Side
good
Nannies. I'm just reading it now. West Side Nannies.
They're good. I've heard of them.
Yeah.
They're
Elizabeth Berkley says they are the best. Go ahead.
So Elizabeth Berkley's in the restaurant, and somebody had paged me to the phone, and she said, they're paging Ed Alonso. I know him. Well, she was sitting with this young actor named Neil Patrick Harris, and she said, my friend Ed is a magician. Neil, you should meet him. So she walks over to my table with Neil, says, I'll introduce you to this kid. He just came from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's got a new television show.
Called Doogie Howser.
It's called Doogie Howser. It wasn't even on the air yet, but we were already taping Saved by the Bell. And so I showed him a couple tricks.
Wasn't that a David Kelly show? And he just passed away, unfortunately. Go ahead.
The Doogie Howser?
Yeah.
No, that was,
not David Kelly.
No, it's not David. It wasn't David R. Kelly. He's still alive, the other one.
Yeah, the one that just passed away.
Yes.
L.A. Law.
L.A. Law.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'll think of the other name in a minute of the Doogie Howser. But anyway, so I show Neil some magic tricks, and as it turns out, we're now spending the next days together, the next weeks, and the next years together, going to magic conventions, going to Disneyland to look behind the scenes at the Haunted Mansion. We became best friends, and we're still best friends today. But so he would have me do magic consulting, like, help me do a trick on Doogie Howser or, you know, whatever show he was working
Stephen
on that time.
Botchko.
Stephen Botchko.
Boy, sorry, David. I know you're, he's doing well. Stephen Botchko, that was
really, really well. And
many, many times you went to Disneyland
with Neil
and you'd get to the front of the line all the time.
I would perform in another country like Germany, and Neil would get on a plane and come out. So yeah, we're still best of friends. I just talked to him yesterday. He's flying back and forth from New York to Vancouver to do Limity Snickets for Netflix, which is a great show.
Yeah.
And
it's a good plug you put in for him.
Yeah, well,
he needs it. Someone needs to help his career.
Right. So that's how that happened. And anyway, so I would tech.
Do you remember the time then we were at Jerry's Deli in Studio City?
Okay.
And this limo pulled up.
Right.
And this guy comes out holding the People's Choice Award, and it was Neil. And he had just won his first award. It was when after you had met him, and he came to your table to hang out. He just wanted to have some French fries, and he stuck the People's Choice Award right in the middle of the table.
Absolutely.
And then he just started talking about magic.
Yeah, I distracted him, stole the thing, and I still have it. No, it's not true. He has that. He's got all of his awards. No, he's a good guy. I'm trying to get some favors from him right now. I'm trying to produce a television series based on this Saved by the Max thing.
Really?
I'm probably not supposed to talk about it, but.
Well, let's talk about it, because we've just breached about every confidentiality there could be.
Well, luckily, this isn't confidential. Anyway, so long ago, 20 minutes ago, we talked about this Saved by the Max opens in Chicago. I fly to Chicago, I become their spokesperson, and I dress up in the Max stuff, the red shirt with the thing, and I go into this restaurant. It's exactly like the Saved by the Bell set, but here's what I wasn't expecting. It's jam-packed of people who are going crazy, like I was one of the Beatles. Now, I've never really experienced this, because as you know, of all the other cast members, they look like that all the time, but me, I wear these fake glasses and poof my hair up, so I can walk around and just go unnoticed. So I go into this thing as Max, and the people were going crazy. People were crying, oh my God, it's Max. I couldn't believe it. So it was such a great time. I did it for a week, and the thing has gone for over a year in Chicago. Then they closed it. The guys who put this thing together called me and said, we want to open up another one. We're going to open it in L.A. I was like, wow, this will be great. So it actually opens Monday in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But today and tomorrow, I'm going to do the Entertainment Tonight and the Access Hollywood and the Mario Lopez and all the stuff to promote it.
Really? In character to Gervais Law first before you do the Mario Lopez and the Entertainment Tonight.
I came here before. In fact, I'm going right from here over to do Entertainment Tonight.
Nice.
Walk them into to the Max.
So people have to understand what the Saved by the Max is.
It's a pop-up restaurant. And I know there's been pop-up restaurants. And if you don't know what that is, it's a theme, and it pops up in a location for maybe a month or two. They sell the place out pre-sales, and then they close it down and they move on. There's been some Steven Spielberg ones. And now, who would have thought that a Saved by the Bell Max restaurant would do well? Well, it did so well in Chicago. They were supposed to be there 3 months, went over a year. Here in L.A. now, on the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and La Brea in the little Target shopping center.
West Hollywood.
It's really the very beginning of West Hollywood. It's right down, like, straight down from Hollywood Boulevard and the Kodak Center and all that. So it's going to be great for tourists. However, they sold the thing out through Thanksgiving of this year already. That's
they call
how
it the
it
first semester. They've sold out through the first
they've
semester.
Sold out the
how
first
do people
semester.
Get tickets if they want to try and get it for second semester? And they opened up a brunch too.
They
so
opened
there
up
are
a brunch.
Some availabilities for brunch.
Yep, there's availability with brunch, and I'm going to be popping in there on some of these Sunday brunches. So it's called the Brunch with Max. You'll have to bring your kids in.
I'm going to
your
I'm
wife
gonna,
and the two kids.
Can I get some comps for that?
Absolutely. And you know what? The food is really good. It's called Fast Food Cuisine. They have an award-winning chef out of Chicago who came and designed the whole menu, and it's really good, and it looks like the presentation of the food is the kind of stuff you'd see like on
Now, are you going to bring Max's Magical Cookbook with you? That was on the show.
Well, I'll tell you what. Because I had to make them myself, that's the big budget we had at NBC back then. I made most of those magic props myself with a guy named Chuck Hughes. I kept as much of it as I could. Over the years, I threw out a lot of the props, and I didn't realize that I wouldn't. I never thought, oh, there's going to be a Saved by the Bell Museum. Well, now there is. They have a whole wall at this Saved by the Max, and I donated everything that I had. The magical cookbook, the duck that used to pop out of the menu, and
how
a bunch of stuff.
How about that meter, that cool meter?
Well,
that
one I'm keeping because I walk around. When I walk into the Max, they start to applaud, and I'm holding this applause meter, and the thing rises up to 100, and the place goes crazy.
Yeah, don't tell anyone how you do it when you have your hand behind it.
On
and
the
you
thing
push,
pulling
the
up the together. Yeah. When we actually did it on the episode, Dennis Haskins controlled it with a little thread. He was pulling on the thing with the thread. And
he was always pulling on a thread.
You'll have to read the Peter Engel book. There's a lot of fun things.
We're not talking about Dustin Diamond right now.
No, not that one. No, there's a Peter Engel book, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called I Was Saved by the Bell. And it was a real book that he had on shelf.
I didn't know that.
The Dustin Diamond book, you know, like Neil Patrick Harris said, sold 3 or 4 copies. And I bought one of them. But no, this is a real book, and it really tells the behind the scenes and stuff. The book doesn't mention me at all. I don't think Peter, I'm going to see
I don't even think Peter knows you.
I don't think he remembers me. I'm going to run into him in the next few days here because he's going to be popping over to the Saved by the Max.
Oh, he is going to be there.
I'm going to have a little run-in with him, and I have no hard
feelings. You might want to
introduce Peter
him.
I love Peter Engel. I mean, he gave me, you know,
you
30 episodes worth of
Ed
a career.
Alonso. Oh,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that.
I kind of remember that face.
They're telling us we're done. Is that it?
I don't know. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll figure it out. Ed Alonso's here with me. It's Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790. KBC.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 602-331 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you get instant gold status and save 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day. And if you join between now and May 27th, you can save an additional 25 cents per gallon on your second fill. But you'll feel like you're reaching up and high-fiving a million angels. To join, download the Fuel Rewards app and start saving today. Offer subject to gold status. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full terms and conditions. Restrictions apply. For 25 cents per gallon bonus, 5 gallon minimum purchase required on first fill.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey.
Well, it's Alan Gervey. Carrie isn't here today. Sitting in her chair is Ed Alonzo.
Yeah.
We're talking about Saved by the Max. And actually, they had these hidden reservations at Casey Kasem's Star. Did you know about the hidden reservations?
I did. This was a great idea. What they did, they have so many Twitter followers or Instagram followers that Saved by the Max. So what they did is they make these little tickets for, I guess it's a complimentary dinner, and is that what it was?
Right, a complimentary dinner.
Well, they were telling me they were hiding them in places, and they did tell me they were going to do one over by the Casey Star. They did one in the mailbox of the Magic
Castle.
Because
they did a documentary. Casey did a documentary. I think it was Zach Morris, Mark Paul Gosselaar or something.
Don't know about it.
Yeah, it was a Zach Attack documentary. Starring Casey Kasem.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
It might not be true, but nothing I say on this show is true.
I can never tell when we're going into a comedy bit or not.
I can't either, but I think we're going to talk about taxes now, so I'm not sure if that's comedy or not, but we can find out.
It was not very funny for me this last year.
It was not. Well, we have an expert on, and maybe you can talk to Daryl Gross, because he's a partner, a CPA at Gish Seiden, one of the finest accounting firms in the city, and they just survived tax season. Daryl, welcome back to Gervey's Law.
Thanks, Alan. I always think taxes are funny, so I don't know, but I might be in the minority.
Yeah, well, were they funnier this year after the tax reform, or what part did that play in this past season?
The part that it really played is most of the tax reform doesn't hit until 2018, but as you know, when the reform passed in December, it created a kind of mad panic because nobody knew what was going to actually happen and how that was going to affect their taxes going forward. So it caused a lot of excess work, especially during tax time, to talk about not only 17, but also kind of give our clients a little sneak peek on what to expect for their 2018 taxes.
People have been so apprehensive, and I'm sure you're the one who hears about it when they're concerned about the future this year and their taxes. What has been the most prevalent questions that you have been asked regarding taxes moving forward?
Are my taxes going up? And usually that's not a very straightforward to kind of, you know, question to answer. And so ultimately what it really comes down to is the tax reform kind of affected a multiple of areas. And when you put them all together, that is how you'll figure out what happened to your taxes. In some cases, taxes did go up. In some cases, taxes did go down. And what's funny is in a lot of cases, taxes stayed very similar. So, you know, based on kind of your income level and certain deductions that you had, I was able to kind of project kind of where you were going to fall out based on what we knew and what was coming down the pike for this new reform.
But you said most of the clauses come into play this year, not last year. Then you talked about some taxes going up, some going down. So wasn't there an impact, at least for 2017, on the percentage of tax?
Yeah, the impact that it would have is what people did to lower their 17 taxes, knowing that some of their deductions were going to be phased out or eliminated in 2018. So a lot of people decided to prepay their property taxes and stuff like that because the SALT, the state and local tax deductions on a personal level, are eliminated, or actually not mostly eliminated, but very limited to $10,000 going forward. So ultimately, less tax might have been paid in 17, and now we'll see the outcome of what happens in 2018 now that there are different changes going forward.
Now, with the state taxes not being deductible, was that a big concern on a lot of people's minds?
Yes, it was probably the number one concern, specifically for our clients, because most of our clients are California or Southern California based. So we live in a very high income tax state, and most of our clients own houses that have large property taxes associated. So that was pretty much the number one concern for a lot of our clients.
What was the other concerns? A mortgage, of the deductions?
Yeah, the other concerns really were mortgage. You know, a lot of our clients didn't understand, you know, how it affected if they had loans that they had purchased a home prior to December 15th and if they got grandfathered in to the old $1 million threshold, or what happens when, you know, you bought a house after December 15th and this new $750,000 mortgage limit. There was a lot of concern in that area as well.
So what advice have you been giving your clients as they move forward? Obviously, you've been a popular guy. I know I spent some time at your office, which I always enjoy because we get to talk sports. But
yeah,
other than talking about the Dodgers and Kansas, congratulations on the Jayhawks, even though they didn't make it all the way. But
did better than we expected.
They did, yeah. When we talked about it, we didn't think they would go that far. But
nope.
Other than that, what are your clients talking about?
So our clients, you know, a lot of times when I ultimately sat them down and kind of showed them a comparison about how the 2018 was going to affect them, I was able to ease their mind because, like I said, they lost a lot of deductions, specifically on the state and local tax deductions, and maybe their mortgage was limited. However, a lot of our clients in what we were called AMT, which was alternative minimum tax, which is a limit on the tax deductions that the government allows you to have. So a lot of those deductions were being limited anyways, and so the ultimate impact was actually not as great as you thought because they weren't getting the full benefit of deducting a lot of their property taxes and state taxes. So when you actually, even though they lost their threshold of deduction, the lower tax rates allowed them to kind of stay very similar or maybe even be a little bit better off than they were prior, in which there really was not much difference on what they needed to do going forward. But I really helped them ease their mind because they really thought that the sky was falling. And when I actually showed them that it was more, you take a little away here, but you get a little bit over there, they were able to really
swallow,
sleep better at night.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's an excellent explanation because I know people wonder about it, and you really simplified it there. One of the things that bothered me is when you looked at me, and this is a true story, and you said, you know what? People aren't getting hit that hard. They don't understand. With all of the trade-offs, they're doing pretty well. I think you're probably the one that was hit the worst.
Yeah, and fortunately, you know, people that, you know, make a decent amount of money, what happens is if they're not in AMT, ultimately what happened is they were taking full benefit of their SALT, their state and local taxes. And what happens is if you then become limited to $10,000, those clients actually are seeing it on the fact that their taxes were actually going up. But to be honest, they weren't going up that much because, again, even though their tax rate, their taxable income overall went up, they're paying tax at lower brackets. And so at the end of the day, it ended up not being such a detrimental loss of those deductions, even for someone in a very high tax bracket.
Okay, here's the last question and a tough question. Was tax reform at this point in time successful, according to Daryl Gross of Gish Sidon?
I think that it, you know, ultimately what I see happening, and, you know, we also didn't get into the business side that really hasn't really had effect yet in 18, that a lot of people by doing a lot of nothing are actually saving on their taxes. So, for instance, like I said, some people who were limited by AMT, you know, ultimately by doing nothing, you know, they, with a large mortgage, they're able to pay less taxes,
right?
Just ultimately the tax rate went down. That will give them more tax in their pocket, and ultimately I think that's what this tax reform was trying to do, get people more tax in their, or more money in their pocket in order to go out and stimulate the economy.
I'm putting you on the spot, Daryl. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think thumbs up at this point.
Okay, well, I admire that. That is a positive attitude. I appreciate it. Daryl, if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
They can give me a call here at the office, 818-854-6100, or give me an email at dgross@giftsidon.com.
And that's S-E-I-D-E-N, Gish, G-I-S-H. Daryl, thanks again for being with us. We'll have you back. We'll talk some more taxes, and we're going to have to talk Dodgers, maybe a little Blue Jays, and, of course, Kansas City Chiefs and Minnesota Vikings next time.
It's draft day. We'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to it. Let me know.
The draft is well into it now. Thanks, thanks, Daryl. Ed, we've come to the end. Don't you have
that's
a story? Do you have a 10-second story, or is that not
possible? I do have a 10-second story. Even though it's sold out for a while, go to savedbythemax.com, no spaces, no dashes. Make reservations. If you're a Saved by the Bell fan, you're going to just poop when you see this place.
Yeah, you
it's
will
awesome.
Poop.
It's fantastic.
Savedbythemax.com.
Yeah,
they may even get to meet you. I'll be there.
I'll be popping into the pop-up restaurant.
You'll be popping in for the pop-up restaurant.
Yeah.
Anything else? Where else can they find you? You were at the Ice House last week. I know that.
I was at the Ice House last week. You can always check me on
edalonzo.com.
edalonzo.com.
It's a fun website.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.